Live from NPR News, I'm Nora Rahm. The Labor Department reported a big jump in job creation last month. NPR's Scott Horsley has more.
U.S. employers added 916,000 jobs in March, the biggest gain in 7 months. Busier restaurants, reopened schools, and warmer weather for construction crews all contributed to the surge in hiring. Job growth has accelerated in each of the last 3 months. Unemployment dropped to 6% in March, and hundreds of thousands of people joined the workforce. The U.S. still needs many more months of strong job growth to regain all the jobs that were lost during the pandemic. Payrolls are still down by about 8.4 million workers. With an uptick in new coronavirus cases in recent weeks, forecasters say future job gains depend on the nation's ability to contain the pandemic. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
For much of the pandemic, scientists at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention were sidelined and contradicted by the Trump administration, leading to a breach in public trust. NPR's Ping Wong reports on how they're now working to restore that trust.
Current CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky says the Trump administration's pandemic response left huge divisions across the country.
I think that it's really a shame that we in this country can't all agree that it would be a good thing to not have infection in this country. It would be a good thing to not have deaths, and that if you wear masks, you can prevent infection. I think we inherited an unfortunate situation there.
Walensky took over as the head of the CDC in January, and one of her priorities is to rebuild credibility and trust with the public. She's pledged to be transparent about the science driving the CDC's advice and clear in explaining how the pandemic is going and how to end it. Ping Huang, NPR News.
Ontario is now in a 4-week province-wide shutdown in an effort to curb the rapidly growing number of daily cases of COVID-19. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the shutdown began at midnight Friday and reverses the easing of restrictions that began just days ago.
Ontario Premier Doug Ford says his province is facing a new enemy that's forced the shutting of many businesses and services and scaling back others. Ontario has seen more than 2,000 new cases of COVID-19 a day for more than a week. Ford says he's concerned about the COVID-19 variants, which are affecting more and more young people. Healthcare experts say ICU admissions have reached their highest level since the beginning of the pandemic.
Dan Karpinchuk reporting. Niger has a new president. Mohamed Bazoum was sworn in Friday, days after Niger's security forces thwarted an attempted military coup at the presidential palace. He said he would make education and security his top priorities. His inauguration marks the first democratic transition of power in Niger. The country has seen 4 military coups since its independence from France in 1960. This is NPR News. The head of the Minneapolis Police Department's Homicide Division testified Friday that kneeling on the neck of someone who's handcuffed and lying on his stomach is totally unnecessary deadly force. Lieutenant Richard Zimmerman was a witness in the trial of former police officer Derek Chauvin. He's charged with the murder of George Floyd, a black man, last year. The U.S. and Iran are set to hold indirect talks in Vienna next week on how to get back into compliance with the 2015 nuclear deal. European diplomats are hoping to bridge the gaps, as NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
After the Trump administration left the deal and reimposed sanctions, Iran started ramping up its nuclear program. White House spokesperson Jen Psaki says the Europeans will lead talks in Vienna on the nuclear steps Iran needs to take to get back into compliance and what kind of sanctions relief the U.S. will have to offer.
We don't anticipate presently that there will be direct talks between the United States and Iran through the process, though we certainly remain open to them.
For now, the other countries that were part of the nuclear deal will meet separately with Iran and with the U.S. in those talks in Vienna. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
A copy of Nintendo's Super Mario Brothers sold at auction for $660,000. Heritage Auction says the game had been bought as a Christmas gift and put in a drawer, sealed in plastic, unopened, and forgotten until it was found earlier this year. This is believed to be a record sales price for a video game. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.